Open up your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. And what we'll look at today is giving thanks to God His way. God's way. And back in the Old Testament, according to the law, it's different than giving thanks today under grace. But in between law and grace, there is lessons for us to learn from throughout history, biblical history, that Job, David, Daniel, Paul, and Christ, just for a few. And the one I want to focus on mostly today is Christ and the cup. I found it to be very interesting and a teaching in Thanksgiving. And that's what we're all about. Today is a day prior to Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, where we give thanks for the food when we gather together, and whoever is gathering together today, or this Thanksgiving. We give thanks for the food, and then we loosen our belts, and then we go sit and watch a football game maybe, and yell at the ref, and we take a nap, and then we eat some more. And then the next day we're sorry we ate so much. But today in the world, the thanksgiving to God is what we're concerned with, what God's concerned with. He wants that thanksgiving to Him. In today's world, I had to write down this list, but we can probably know these right off the top of our heads. The sickness that goes as rampant through the world today, the hunger, the lost work, the financial difficulty, the political and civil turmoil, which is big, the unrest, whole cities consumed with fire or floods. And what's next? The rapture, I hope. But many have to dig deep within to give any thanks at all this time, this year, during this turmoil and this adversity that we're going through right now. And so we're focused more on the trouble than we are on thanking God. Let's see what the people in the past have done when they gave thanks to God, and let's learn from them. The Holy Spirit had them recorded down here for us that we might know God's mind. But the one point, normally Thanksgiving goes hand in hand with blessings, right? Thank you, Lord, that we drove here safely and the snow wasn't so deep. Thank you for our dinner last night. Thank you for our health. Thank you for the things that we have normally. But would you ever give thanks for nothing? It's quiet in here. But that's the idea. And to give thanks to God, you don't always have to say thanks. You don't always have to say the word. Watch, let's start with that idea of giving thanks to God, God's way. In Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12, it says, and we'll break right into it. It says, if he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil, fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So thanksgiving and peace offering is combined. Leviticus 7:14, and of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. And if, verse 18, and if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and that and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. Verse 20. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And so here's a series of verses that says if a man wants to offer a thanksgiving, a peace offering to God, he has to do it this way. It's prescribed. It's written down. It's a command. And it's according to the law. If he brings this offering and he eats, he has to eat that offering, that thing, that day. If he waits till the third day, then it is not accepted. God does not accept his offering of thanksgiving at that time. So, by the way, in Leviticus 22:29 says, and when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. And so if you want to give thanksgiving to God, if you want to do something extracurricular and thank God and for the peace and everything in your life, you bring this offering, but you bring it God's way. You just didn't haphazardly do anything any way you wanted to. So to go to God with thanksgiving, back in the Old Testament, according to Leviticus here, you had to do it giving thanks God's way. Otherwise, God says, I don't accept your thanksgiving offering. Turn with me to the book of Job. We're just going to build some information as we go through the book of Job. And some people claim that we're in something called the church age, the Corinthian age. I think we're in the Job age right now. The book of Job, just before Psalms. At least it was there last time I looked. Job, chapter 1. In verse 14. What I want to do is read down a series of verses here. And does anyone have a stopwatch? Anyone, just take your watch, and I'm going to read. And when I'm done reading, you tell me how many minutes that was, okay? Is anyone up for that? Who's got a watch? Okay, here's a watch. You got it? Okay. All right, we got an official stopwatch back there. Stacy, thank you. I'm going to start reading. We're in Job 14. Just follow along. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and it fell upon the young men. And they are dead, and I am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. How long?
A minute and 4 seconds.
That's how long it took for Job to lose everything. As you read the scriptures, if I'm reading this right, he says, and as he was yet speaking, someone else came in and said, this is, at least that took him that long to get news that said he lost everything. Nowadays we have whatever we have from government to help us through some troubling times, and maybe we won't lose everything. He lost his entire, and he was a wealthy man. He lost everything. There was a quote. It says, a man is rich in proportion to the things he can do without. That was Thoreau. But he learned that he can do without some things. But he said, he goes on to say in chapter, the same chapter there, 1, verse 21, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Look over to chapter 2, verse 9. After God allows Satan to touch his being, Satan could touch his goods and his family, but he couldn't touch Job. God gives Satan authority now to go touch his skin. And Satan goes down and gives him all this boils and all these other things. And verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? And he didn't have to say, thank you for all this trouble. But he says, if we get good, we have blessings. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the song. We have good, and we thank God for that, right? We do that. And then when trouble comes, he says, should we not get evil also with God, from God? And so he doesn't charge God foolishly. He doesn't sin with his lips. He doesn't sin with his mouth. Most of all, watch his heart. Job's heart was, lose everything. You're sitting right here. You have the clothes on your back. Lose everything. You can't drive. You can't go home. And all you have to do is walk. Or you can't walk because you have boils. And you have to go sit someplace comfortable so that the boils don't hurt. What a man. Job was a man. He was a man of integrity, it says. That's one. Let's look further at 1 Chronicles. You go backwards a little bit, Kings and then Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. This is David, King David. And there is more to be said from David giving thanks to God, I think, than most other people. But he was right up there in the book of Psalms. If you ever chose to read that, he's in there giving thanks. 16, verse 34. 1 Chronicles 16, 34. And it says there, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. And this is, of course, David under the law, doing what God said, fighting battles. David thanked God for going into battle. He thanked God for the victories. And there's one in 16, verse 41. Look down at 41. And it says, is that the one? It says, and with Heman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. This part, if I'm correct, was when the ark of God was brought back into the camp. And the noise of their thanksgiving and their praise, you could hear it abroad. So that was something. When David saw the ark come back into the camp, he was very pleased and gave thanks continually. Daniel. So David, when he was fighting battles, that's called adversity, right? You have to go to war. Anyone here been to war? Yeah. There's adversity. You're looking out for your life. That was David, and he gave thanks to God continually. Daniel chapter 6. Chronicles, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 4. And when I start reading, remember the times we live in as we're reading this. And remember something that Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. Then the presidents, Daniel 6:4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents and the kingdom of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, that he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign in the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So the king was petitioned by the presidents and the governors that says, sign this decree that nobody in the kingdom should ask any petition of God except thee, O king. What does Daniel do? Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel says, come on with it. Here I go. Watch me. Watch me now. I'm doing this. And he opened his door. He knew that his life was in danger, that he could be cast into the lion's den if he prayed to God. How do we translate that into our today situation? You see where I'm going with it? You see where the scriptures are going with this? I didn't write this. The Holy Spirit wrote this and kept this for us that we might know when the government oversteps its boundary, we worship God. And nothing will change that. We might be in danger of our life someday. Others in other parts of the world are already. But we have to watch, and we understand where it says in Romans 13, and I wasn't going to go there, but it says, obey the powers that be and pray for the king that we might live a peaceable, quiet and peaceable life, which is good. But when he oversteps the boundaries of praying to God, forget it. I'm praying. How about you? Amen. Daniel, in adversity, gave thanks. Hebrews says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When Christ himself was here, Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew 14. And we'll look briefly at the account of feeding the 5,000. Remember what we said, that normally when you receive a blessing, you give thanks. And that's what Christ did here in Matthew 14, 15. And we have to remember the setting, that this is Israel. Christ is a Jew teaching or feeding the flock, the 5,000 here. And it says in Matthew 14, verse 15, it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. All right, so they have a situation here. There's 5,000 people there. They're hungry. What do? You call in room service? Not room service, but what's that food delivery service? I'm trying to think of it.
Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels, yeah. Something like that. But there's none of that around. And so verse 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. All right. So now I'm standing here. I'm one of the disciples. Christ says, 5,000 people. There's only whatever here. 5,000 people, you feed them. Wait a minute. Matthew 10, don't turn there. Christ says to them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Freely receive, freely give. He told them, he gave them power to heal the sick and raise the dead. What's the big deal about making a little bread? But he says, you feed them. He's teaching the disciples that I've got this power. This is kingdom life. This is what happens in the kingdom. Isaiah 55 says, hear ye that you can, I forget how it goes, you can buy without money. That's a pretty good idea. But that's kingdom. I mean, I don't know what glory, you know, I'm thinking about my spot in heaven and you and everyone together and what's waiting for us. That's our hope. You know, forget this, the world and stuff. That's what happens when I start getting involved. I don't know about you. When I start getting involved in a Bible study, I kind of forget where I forget that I need to be someplace at 9 o'clock. And I'm still studying in my office or something, and I enjoy that. But it takes me right away from this world's troubles, the adversity that we're going through. God's word takes and pulls me back and gives me that hope. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 17, they say unto him, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. Verse 19, drop down. He commanded the multitude to sit upon the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and his disciples to the multitude. So he blessed, which means he gave thanks. If you combine that with John chapter 6, the same event, blessing is the same thing as giving thanks. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Who did he give thanks to? God the Father. And so he understood that's where the blessings flowed from. Verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled and took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full after giving thanks. They had 12 baskets full. How many disciples were there? Is this the principle of reaping what you sowed? Maybe. Were those 12 baskets for them? Or were those 12 baskets like seed money for the next feeding? The people, the 5,000, they didn't have a place to go eat. What they were going to do now is what they're going to follow. They got fed by Christ and the 12. What are they going to do? They're going to follow Christ and the 12 for their next meal. They're going to need to have something to break and to give out. And I wonder what that miracle was, and I won't get into that right now. But if they have a loaf of bread and they got, I figured it out. If you have 5,000 men and 12 disciples, one disciple has to feed 416 men, besides women and children. How long would it take for me to go over here and here's yours, oh, here's yours, here's yours, and here's your fish, and here's... How did that happen? These disciples got to be beat by the end of the day. They're probably starving. And I wonder if anyone said thanks to them. But they were operating under the kingdom program where, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll get the idea of that also. Let's move on. Let's go to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And probably my favorite Thanksgiving passage is this, verse 12, Luke 17, 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers and stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. This is all Jewish, of course. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they said, Lord, have mercy on us. He did. And he says, go show yourself to the priest. Under the rules of Leviticus chapter 14, 15, you have to show yourself to the priest, and he would either declare you clean or unclean by looking at you. And verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a half-breed. He wasn't even a full-breed Jew. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Again, put yourself in Scripture. Jesus Christ is standing right here. I'm going to be falling on my face anyhow, regardless of what happens. But he says to the guy, where are the nine? Where are you going to answer? Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm not in charge here. Where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. When he gave thanks with a loud voice to Jesus Christ, he glorified God. What should we do when we have given, when we're given thanks? Make sure everyone hears. In the restaurant, wherever you are, give thanks. And it says here, with a loud voice. And so in the restaurants, it's like, thank you, Lord, for the, thank you. Amen. Then you eat. Verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. So he was healed, go thy way. He didn't have to go back. He was declared clean by the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But interestingly enough, right across the page in chapter 18, Jesus Christ is now going to teach by means of a parable. And he goes into verse 10. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He's praying within himself, saying, I thank thee, God, that I am so darn good. That's what he's doing. And so is that proper thanks? No, he's not giving thanks to God God's way. He's giving thanks that I am not. He's measuring himself by other people. He says, as these extortioners. And so what's he, a hypocrite? And so that's exactly what's going on there. But he says, he lists all the things that he does under the law, of course. Pharisee prayed, I thank thee that I've not other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so he says, I do this, I do that. I do. You know what that is? That's religious doo-doo. I do this, I do that. And he's telling God how good he is because he's physically doing something. What does it say there in Matthew 15:8? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Remember Job with his heart and how he says, shall we not receive good and evil from the Lord? Verse 13. It says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When you humble yourself before God, and giving thanks for me is Christ paid for my sins. I can't do that. I can't create a world. I can't go over here and create a new world with trees and flowers and whatever. You get the idea. I thank God for all that because it's something. Thank you for doing something for me that I couldn't do for myself. That's Thanksgiving. When you're proud, you see what I just did over here? I did this. Oh, was that in Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar, this great kingdom that I have made and everything, and he became a wild animal, right? Okay, another story altogether. That'll come next hour. but that's the idea. Humbling and giving thanks goes hand in hand. And so when we give thanks to God, thank you for the food that we have. Thank you for our health. Thank you for everything that we have. And when adversity comes, what do? Thank you, Lord, that we'll get out of this someday. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in adversity, In Acts 27, it said that he took bread and gave thanks. That was when he was shipwrecked. It said there that he was, it's in Acts 27, don't turn there. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out to the stern, wishing for the day. It's nighttime. The boat for 14 days had been rocked in this big ship. The only ship I've ever been on is the Bablo boat. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember that. You know, Captain Bablo, hey, how you doing? But 14 days on the water, it's dark, and haven't eaten. Now, I wouldn't be concerned about eating right then, but, you know, it's he says, you got to do this for your strength because he knows what's going to happen. And so he says there he broke bread and began to eat. That broken bread is an interesting topic throughout your scriptures. But he, it says there in verse 35, it says, when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. I'd be praying, Father, could we please get away from the rocks here? Could you calm the storm down? Could you do something else? I'm not giving thanks for the bread right now. I mean, that's a dire strait. You talk about adversity. That was Paul went through stoning, shipwrecks, beatings. They took him up for dead. All this other stuff, hunger and cold. He went through all this adversity and he gives thanks. So we're learning from this, right? Sure we are. So what does it mean to us? Ephesians 1:3. Turn to Ephesians. Don't turn to Ephesians. In 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says, and when he had given thanks, speaking of the Last Supper, Christ broke the bread. He gave thanks and break it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When he went with the 12 apostles feeding the 5,000, it says he broke the bread and passed it out. And a symbol of what he's doing, giving, he says, I'm the bread of life. And he's passing, like it's almost like he's passing himself out to the 5,000. The 12 disciples are the ones that are pushing it forward. Verse 25, after the same manner he took the cup, after the same manner by giving thanks, he took the cup and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. He took the cup and said, thank you. What was the cup? The New Testament in his blood. It was the cup of suffering that he had to go to the cross. It said, Matthew 26:39. I'm trying to just get to the heart of what I want to say. And he went a little further and fell on his face in the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He knew what that cup meant. And he says, Father, if this cup can go away, please do it. But I want your will to be done, not mine. Is an adversity. Christ is in adversity at this point, and he later on at the Last Supper, before that, he said he gave thanks for that cup, but he says, would this cup pass? You know, Jesus Christ was both fully man and fully God. And the man part of him didn't want to do this. The God part of him said, yeah, I got to do it because the Father wants it. Matthew 26:42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. I'm going to read a verse in the book of Hebrews. Says, who in the days of his flesh, that's speaking of Christ, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. And you can read the rest another time in Hebrews chapter 5. He feared. He prayed to God with tears that this would not happen. And in adversity, understanding all of that, it says he gave thanks for the cup. And he gave thanks for the bread that he broke. This is my body, which is broken for you. What a wonderful picture of someone who gave thanks when only death and suffering for other people, the sacrifice that he went through for us. And for us in the time of grace, what's the verse say down at the bottom? Read it together. Giving thanks to God. Oh, wait a minute. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me, everyone. In the time of grace, we don't need to be a priest. We don't need to have an animal sacrifice or the bread or the offering and all this stuff and eat it the first day. And we don't have to do all that. Today, all that's passed away. Today, under grace, you just give thanks and leave the results with God. He knows what's best, and he's doing what he always will do, what's right for us in the end result. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. How would we know what to do without your word? Thank you for the Holy Spirit putting it down together for us, and the Holy Spirit that helps us learn within us. Thank you for all that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.